you in the name of the glorious Jesus, that we worship him this morning, and we worship every hour as we walk with him. Thank you, Lord. We're in love with Jesus. We take Jesus away from Christianity, there is no Christianity. And so, Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for your people who has the strength, who have been in church the whole day, who have done a number of things today, and now we close the day with the evening service. Thank you for the families. Thank you for the young people, Father. Thank you for the little ones. They are treasuring in their heart a day of worship with you. And we are preserving their life and the life of America as they grow up under this influence. Bless us as we sing praises to you. We love the hymns of faith. And Father, we love to look in Revelation and grasp the details of what you have to tell us about your agenda. In Jesus we thank you. Amen. Amen. Now you tell me what song is in your heart. I see a young, brilliant young man. Brilliant. Not only young man, but brilliant. Tell me.
455.
455. I knew that was good. All right. 455. Future pilot of an F-15. We were talking about F-15 this morning. They like history. I like to ask questions to the little ones, see what they like and perceive what they're going to be. But they like history, he said. And so I assume all the brothers have liked history. Until one of the others said, no, sir, I like tennis. it's so good. Because, you know, my mother-in-law used to say, I have 6 children, and they are just like a hand, every finger is different. And every one of your children will be different, and you will enjoy them. And so good. All right? 455. In my heart there rings a melody. I know whom I have a little. What happened to Lara? She had to go?
Yeah.
She had to go. See, I know everybody. It's nice in the more church. All right. Amazing. We had Ryan today in church. That was good. And Rita Sumeta. That was very, very good. All right. Number 224. I know whom I have a little.
Thank you.
coffee shop, and one fellow took this time, the walk from one table to the other, as Leo and I were talking to somebody to come to church. And he said, "You know, I want to tell you this," he said. I'm a Roman Catholic, but I don't believe in God." I said, "Well, will you repeat that to your priest?" He said, "No, the priest give me the bread. I get the bread, and that's the only thing I need." So I asked the question, "What's the bread?" He said, "I don't know, but they give me the bread." See, look at the son. "I know whom I have believed." That's the difference. When you're a Christian, you know who you have believed. Number two, please. "I know
love of Jesus.
All right.
remember in prayer, Mrs. Helen Mick, she's very sick.
Raquel said, Brother Mick told her, she's very, very sick at home. I guess it's a stomach flu or something like that. Remember her in prayer. I see a brilliant tennis player in the back. Yes, sir. Okay, bring your crowd with you. 479. Bring the crowd. The Perfection Choir is calling. All right, here we are.
Jesus has risen.
To help the little ones too, and just fantastic. Brother Russ, give us a report.
We had a very good meeting.
What is it called?
For Mother's Day, normally it's quite small.
Yes.
And anyway, the highlight of today was hearing a violin being played in one of the rooms by one of our young people, Stephanie, afterwards.
Oh.
And it was just great. Fantastic. That's all I can say. She was great.
Fantastic. All right.
You're all down the hall.
Wow. Did she play in the big room there?
No, she played in the room by the hospital bed.
Oh, by the hospital bed to someone. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's give a hand. Your daddy told me he would give you a gift of $50 today. I get in trouble, don't I? Grace God.
334.
334.
Is that your song?
That's what you want? 334?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Look at Revelation. Señor Anthony, number 15. And I'll be back with you in a minute. 13? 13. And I'll be back with you, Don. I pretty girl, whatever. Okay. Number 13. Praise ye the Lord Almighty. One stanza here, and then we take little Trisha what you want. Okay.
Raquel, for your playing, and I thank you for being here tonight after a long, long day. Before we turn into the screen here for those who are in listening, and I know some of them have been here in our church, and others don't. We have a screen right to my left where we jot down some information about the sermon. We're in Revelation chapter 6. And Pastor is going to read Revelation 6, 1 to 4. We already study Revelation 6, 1 and 6, verse 1 and verse 2. We make a review to get ourselves into the picture. But I'm going to read the four verses, which are enlightening when we peacefully compare the scripture and see what God is doing. The Bible says in Revelation 6 and in verse 1, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see." You should circle that. That's a key word in Revelation. It's not come and interpret, come and guess, come and see. "And I look, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, And he went out conquering to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes that we may see the beauty of your word. Help us to be aware of your planning, even if just a little bit. Help us to see what you are doing in the world. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, we are looking on the book of Revelation, as you know. And first thing I want to do is just giving you some briefings about Revelation so that you can have the entire book to yourself. The first thing you learn is that chapter 1 of the book of Revelation is talking about the Lord Jesus. And we elaborated on that, and you can read the entire chapter, and you see the many faces of the Lord Jesus, not as a baby in a manger, but as a full king and a full lamb and redemption. Then you see the revelation of Jesus Christ Church, the sign said JC Church, the Jesus Christ Church. And remember, how many churches are in Revelation 2 and 3? How many churches listed? How many?
Seven.
Seven churches. And don't speculate on the number seven. I don't know why it's seven, but there are seven churches covered all Asia Minor and a part of Northern Africa. And that was the expansion of God's territory. And that was fantastic. And each church has a different characteristic. There were those who were excellent, two of them. And there were those who they thought they were excellent, but they were not so. And then chapter 5 all the way to chapter 19 talks about God's agenda. Every politician and every people in power, they think they have an agenda for the world. Right now, for example, I'm talking on the year 2005, President Bush and the president of Russia, they are meeting just smiling from outside, but not inside, because Russia has a plan and Bush has his plan and so on. But God has a plan about them. And that's what God really accomplished. Now, I want to make Revelation chapter 6 and 7 God's agenda, all right? From Revelation 5 all the way to Revelation 19. And so in an agenda, you have pages, page 1, page 2, day 1, day 2, day 3. And so let's make it simple in that way. Page 1 is verse 1 and verse 2, all right? In that agenda, the key of God is the victorious proclamation of the gospel. That's God's agenda in day number 1. So let's read verse 2. And I look, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering to conquer. Now, if you go to a library, I purposely went to San Jose. San Jose, one of the greatest libraries on theology. And saved me a lot of money in getting books. Just to sit down and research the 1600s background on this verse. There are about 9 volumes. Tremendous. Everybody is arguing about who is this man and the white horse. Let's go to chapter 19. You know, and I think if we go to chapter 19, we will see in verses 11 to 16 who is the man in the white horse. I'm reading Revelation 19, 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and in his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, follow him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And in his, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think that identity of the white horse is not too bad to not too complicated to say. And so that's what I believe it is. Also revealed in Matthew 12. Remember what I said in Matthew 12? Jesus said to the Pharisees, if I kick demons by Satan, then I destroy the kingdom of Satan. And the kingdom cannot destroy by himself. So he said, but if I go into a strong man's house and tie him up and steal his good, then I'm the king. And that's what he does. Satan is a loose rebel, but when Jesus comes into the heart of a person, he squeezes Satan, he takes the person away from the kingdom of Satan and bring the person into the kingdom of God. And so Revelation chapter 6, 1 and 2 teaches the victorious proclamations of the gospel. And I choose purposely the word victorious, because when you preach the gospel, you never fail. You never fail. You never fail. I have people now stopping me in Nob Hill saying, you know, the other day when you were talking to those guys about the Lord, I was there drinking a cup of coffee. And I'm a Catholic. I never heard that. You know, you never fail preaching the gospel. I'm a very popular fellow. They know, and Leo is a little more aggressive, because Leo said, you're all going to hell, I'm very sorry, Americans, and he's Mexican, and boy, that makes it worse. I said, Leo, you have to calm down, you have to have mercy when you preach. He said, well, that's so good, Pastor, for the first time the Mexican can tell the Americans that they are going to hell. I said, but I tell you, I said, that's not the spirit, okay, that's not the way. We have to warm them up. We have to softly and tenderly and kindly tell them. I have people telling me, say, Pastor, we go to the church, we take the bread. That's what they call it. I guess it's the mass. We take the bread and we are happy. Why? Well, we don't know. See, this is the key. We need to inform people. Most of the people are uninformed. And by having a solid church, conservative, praising God, you saw the song at the beginning of today. Ooh, I want to jump and go around the building. People will think I'm crazy. But that was great, don't we? That was great. You see the young people when they sing, they're sober. Look at the ladies, how they're dressed. I'm proud of that. Very proud of our ladies. And so all of these is a silent witness of the proclamation of the gospel. All right. So verse 1 and 2 in chapter 6 is saying God is going to get that Jesus going. Not you and I, but that Jesus going. And as you become faithful to him, as we studied this morning, as mamas become really faithful to Jesus, like those women that we saw this morning, I tell you, the gospel shines and Jesus keep on conquering. Now we come to a different picture. Chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4. In verse 3, the Bible says, and he opened the second seal. Now, Rashi can help you. We have a box, and you have a seal. When you open the seal, not necessarily you open the box. Is that right? Is that proper? Okay, good. So, now, that's why you have 7 times 7 and 7 and 7 repeated. In chapter 7, then there is another thing. What happened is this. You have a box, let's say, imagine, a box with a seal. These are the scrolls. So they open the first seal, the scroll is still there. Then they open the second seal, the scroll is still there. Then in the next chapter, they open the scroll, one part and the other part. You will see how easy it is. I think I'm going to make a scroll and show you how this is done. All right. And in verse 3 then, Jesus invited us and said, come and see. Now, what I think it is, the second day, the first day is the proclamation of the gospel, and that came on Jesus' resurrection. Remember, Peter preached? How beautiful. Peter preached the first sermon in what book of the Bible? Acts. What chapter? 2. Thank you. Oh, the class passed. All right. Now, on the very moment that you preach the gospel, there is a rascal right by you, the one to destroy whatever you believe and whatever you have done. And this is the second day the Antichrist makes lobby. Now, who directs the Antichrist? Let's look. It's chapter 6, verse 4. And another horse, fiery red, okay, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the ground. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I put on the screen 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. You will see the identity of this second horse. So I want you to see 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. Paul tell the church of Thessalonica, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So that is Satan's goal from the very first day. From the very first day. And when he sits about in the temple, who is our peace? The Bible talks over and over that Jesus is our peace, all right? And when Satan sits in the temple, he wants to become our peace. He's a full liar. Full liar. Jesus is, Satan is full of lies. And the first lie that bring to your mind and to mine is that he wants to be at peace with God. He wants to steal that from Jesus. So it's directed by Satan. And I wonder who authorized this man to do that. As you go back to Revelation 6, on in verse 4, the Bible says, not that he took over. But look at what the Bible says in verse 4, right at the middle. And it was granted to the one who sit on. What do you mean? What do you think means, and it was granted? He was allowed. He was authorized. He was getting permission to do this. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and then I'm going to ask you to recall for me a real picture of this. John chapter 19 and verse 11. And it was granted to him. And Jesus is explaining. This is an explanation of the Lord Jesus. He's trying to tell us how things really happen in the world. He said, you could have no power at all against me. He's telling the Pharisees and these people, unless it has been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. So what Jesus is saying is this: no one of you can touch me. No one of you can cut me, bring to the cross, kill me. No one can do anything unless God allow it. Now you tell me, test, quiz. You tell me. In the Old Testament, this is a quiz. Job. he cannot hold it. All right, John. What chapter? Chapter 1. What verses? All right. Chapter 1. That's enough. Chapter 1. And what happened to John? He didn't know. The poor man didn't know. But Satan, the Bible says, went to worship God together with the sons of God. He cannot do that anymore, and you will see it. Satan fall, and then the cross, he was sealed. You know, but at that time, he had entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And then he accused this man who being so holy. He said, you know why he's holy? Because he got every blessing in this world. He has a wife, has children, has money, has a company. He doesn't need anything. Satan never saw that Job pray for his children very badly because he said, perhaps they will sin. He was a dedicated father. He don't saw that. He saw that he got the benefit of having God in his life. And I tell you, in spite of all the turbulence of the world, when you have God in your sight, you really have peace of mind. Peace of mind. All right? And you fly, and you know how difficult it is when you fly and you're in turbulence. And the pilot tells you, well, we'll have a 20-minute turbulence or whatever. It is tough. All right? But I keep saying to Raquel, you know, we don't have to worry. Because there's a pilot in the front, and there's a co-pilot, and there are instruments, and they know what they're doing, and they know whatever they want to. They are communicating with people, so they are okay. And so here is the key. Jesus is saying that nobody can do anything against the kingdom of God or against yourself except be given permission by God. Now, Satan was authorized by word. And if you go back to Revelation 6, what is the scope? What is the scope of that war? And some people say, well, the communists take over. At my time, I'm the 45, my mother talked about Mussolini. She was Italian. Mussolini. They talk about Hitler. Hitler was getting older. And they talk about the president of the United States. And they think that these people who come into this scenario of life, they were there, but what is the real peace? It's not Russia taking over America, or China taking over America, or we taking over China. We do that by business and things like that. But what is the real takeover? Look at verse 4. He said, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. So, is to take peace. To take the peace of God that you have in your heart. That's what Satan, he cannot do it, but he can make your life miserable. Look at 1 Peter, the counsel of God, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And I think this is a great counsel of God for all of us. First, he encouraged us in verse 6, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's very hard sometimes. We want to do things ourselves. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. And then he gave us the advice. Be sober. What means be sober?
Not drunk.
Say again.
Not drunk.
That's good. That's not wrong. You may be on the alert. All right?
Stable-minded.
Not wrong. Be vigilant. What that means, vigilant? Watchful. All right? Because, here is why. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. You know, there is a theology that says, well, Satan is tied up. He can do nothing. Well, Satan loved that theology. You know, when you believe that your enemy is tied up and can do nothing, boy, I tell you, Satan is having a heyday. He said, oh, how good. Because you are unaware then of circumstances, unaware of yourself, unaware of everything. So here is what God is saying. God is saying the scope of the takeover is God is going to take your peace. Now, quiz. Satan is going to take your peace. How can Satan take peace from a believer? You're at peace with God, but Satan is in war. The second day in the agenda is that God allows Satan to come in and trying to challenge you to take your peace. What happened when what should or what could happen?
Temptations,
Brother Russ. Quarrel within the church. We have seen this in our lifetime here. Yes. Doubt? What else? Take your peace. You know, when you doubt the word of God, that's a good point. Well, even if a wife said, why should I listen to my husband? You listen to the TV, and if you tell them that a wife should listen to the husband, that's an awe thing. It looks like the husband is, like you are suffering. And if you believe that you are suffering because you let the protection of your husband be over you, then they take your peace away. If you say, no, listen, the Bible said that we work together with my husband, and when we had to cut the cake, I said, darling, cut it. And I stay back, and I support him. Then you're at peace. Whatever happened, happened. And then if something wrong, then together we make it all there. The same with your children. Children, obey your parents. Oh, no, but you have rights. You cannot do that. You know, the other day there came a little boy, very nasty, in the coffee shop. You know, the elderly people don't like to mingle with the little ones. And we were there, and the boy was running around and so on. And Anthony, the big Italian fellow, he grabbed it by the hand and said, "Son, don't do that." And boy, the mother said, "I'm going to call protected office. I never spank my child." So poor Anthony, the old Italian fellow, 81, he looked to me and said, "I take over, Anthony." I said, "Darling," I said, "you have to spank your child. At least you have to correct your child. Let's put it in this way. Not necessarily spank it, but correct it. Spanking looks like you are, you know, you have to tell your child no. Why?" So here it is in the Bible. I went to the first King. And one of the sons of David rebelled against him, the Bible said, because the father never said no to him. That young lady, she must be 25, 26. She said, "Oh, wow. I wonder who I am listening," she said to me. "That right." She got smart. "Who I am listening to." Right away, I got my car with the Bibles, got one of the Bibles, bring it to her, and said, "Start reading any place you want to." I tell you, God has allowed these things to happen so that our faith is tested, don't we? Our faith is tested. The Bible said, young people, do not marry an unbeliever. It doesn't say do not marry a white, a yellow, or no, it has nothing to do with that. We are all the same. Whatever color is your hair, it's not nothing for God. But what God cares about what, young people? About what? Say it again. Okay, now, Anthony, if you want to get married and bring me somebody for me to marry, what is the qualification? She has to be a Christian. Well, Satan will do all he can to bring somebody who is not a Christian. And Satan knows our appealing. She will bring one of those nice girls that you go crazy about it. You say, "Hoo-hoo-hoo." No, don't do "hoo-hoo-hoo" too much. Because if he's not a Christian, doesn't work. Doesn't work, I guarantee it. But Satan, he wants to do that. He wants to take the peace away. Imagine some of you young people marry an unbeliever. You take the peace from yourself, the peace from your family, the peace from your church. Imagine the destruction that you made yourself. You say, "Pastor, wait a minute." Yeah. That's what I fight the death for all of you with your parents. The things be done decently and in order. According to what? To the book. And each home has their own rules and their own ways to do it. And I respect it with all my heart. But the major rule is you look for a Christian and you wait until God brings into your life. Somebody, I asked somebody the other day, he was frustrated. Right here in the parking lot. I had to help him. Victor had to come and got it checked. I got him on the right path, thank God. But I said, "Where you met your wife?" "In a bar." He lost his big job. Now he's going to be thrown away. I said, "Is this your wife? Can I have more information about you? His social security and so on." And I did some digging. It's not a wife. They live 10 years together. But you know, if you live 10 years, you're a wife and a husband here in California after 7 years. So I said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "I bring the girl." "Bring the girl. Bring the girl right here, two children." I asked the wife, I said, "Are you married?" "No, sir." I said, "Who are these two children are?" "From me." "Who is the father?" "Him." So, "Are you married?" "No." He said, "What, the children came from heaven?" Dropping. He said, "Well, you know, what are my mistake?" "Don't ever say that. Children, a mistake? Only God made children." And she said, "Well, you know, I don't know what to do." Now we are talking about. So get into my car. We find a job. We got a job right away in Home Depot for the fellow to stand. Get a week pay for the a month pay for the rental of his trailer and get food in his home. And I say, "If you have to seek God, I don't want to ask you to come to church, but you have to seek God. Here we do all of these because we love God." She said, "Well, my life is a mess for 10 years." Well, that's what Satan will do. Takes away your peace, whether you're a believer or unbeliever. Satan especially is no tie, fellows. He's loose as can be, and he's trying to get you and me to do that. Now, then the fair question is any hope? Here is God saying, here's the victorious preaching of the gospel, day number one. Day number two, here is Satan going all around you, fellows. Is any hope? Yes, it is. John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Remember that? you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, have overcome the situation. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world trying to disturb the peace. So don't give up, Church of God. God is so kind to tell us in his agenda, day number one, the victorious preaching of the gospel. You share the gospel, I, God, will save my people. Number two, be careful. There is an enemy that I give him permission to disturb your peace. One of the things that hurts me most is when Christian homes, their children, and I met some of them, their children go away and they have children out of wedlock and all of these. You don't know the heartbroken of a mother, like the book of Proverbs said, and all of these things. And we need to be aware. I don't like to talk about this, but I have to talk so that you become aware that we need to be watchful. Young people, be watchful in your life. As you go to college, watch every invitation, watch every decision, watch everything people will say to you and things that you will do. Because you say, what happened to me? Oh, God will forgive me. Yes, but you lose a lot of time. You lose a lot of time between. The recovery is painful and is not needful. And no need the recovery if you stay online and move on. Is any other question that comes to your mind as we look into Revelation 6:42? Day number one, remember the victorious preaching of the gospel. We love that. Day number two, watch out. There is a guy out to disturb your peace. Not to take over the country, to disturb your peace. See, theology have become politicians. Oh, this country is going to take over the other country. Paul, I'm knowing that. I'm deep into what? That Satan is here on this earth to take your peace. But he cannot do it. He cannot do it. Greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. He cannot do it. Unless what? Unless? Unless? He cannot do it unless? Unless? Unless we let it in. Unless we draw our boxing line and say, okay, let's play with Satan. You're going to get it. God, you don't lose your salvation, but he can make your life miserable the rest of your life. Brother Russ. Praise God in Ephesians 6. Thank you, brother. Exactly. That's a put on. That's good. Why God will say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 16, put the whole armor of God and he give you the details. It's because we are in a war. They want to take your peace away. And parents, this church made me so happy because it's a church with family. And the first thing people do in America is send the children out, away. Unless you have to go away to study and so on, that's fine. But not to have more relation, no more connection, no more communication with the children, that's devastating. That's devastating. Family of God, thank God that we have the commission of the victorious preaching of the gospel. And thank God that we have an armor that defends us against the vile, say the Bible, vile attack of Satan. Never give up. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson you bring to us through the book of Revelation. We are aware that, yes, there is a glorious day of the revelation of the gospel, but also we are aware of the rebellion attitude of Satan to take away our peace. God, protect us. Help us to cast our cares upon you, as 1 Peter said, and you will take care of us. In Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.